This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And there's no Baby Yoda in here drinking soup watching us.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure because I didn't pre-order any of the Baby Yoda merch.
I told him to stay in the car.
He doesn't listen. He's in there pressing buttons.
That's okay. The car's off. Hey, at least my car's got a locking system, unlike the Mandalorian.
Right? So this is like...
That bothered me after we talked about it. Like, why does he not have like an alarm system or
when
like
the Jawas were getting in there,
right? Or something, yeah.
Like he's this badass bounty hunter, but like he just like forgot anyone to, can
forgot my keys.
Yeah, well, it was like in the first episode when the first bounty there, and he was like poking around and like opens the weapons cache. It's like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
So
maybe the Mandalorian just don't care because he's that good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he is the Mandalorian, and he has Beskar armor, so.
And what is bounty hunting?
It's complicated.
Yeah, is that what he says?
Something like that.
Bounty hunting is complicated.
It's a complicated,
complicated business.
Yeah, business. That's what he understands, at least. But yeah, all right.
Like,
so,
you're an Imperial. You don't know.
So we're gonna talk first about the Chapter 4 Sanctuary. Is the title?
Mulan.
We'll talk about Mulan and stuff in a little bit. So this one was directed by Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah.
And one, I enjoyed the episode. Mm-hmm. I didn't like, I've seen some people like, I guess I haven't seen, I've just had a bunch of people I talked to said they felt like it was a Star Trek episode. And I said, what's wrong with that?
Really?
Yeah. I didn't see it.
Well, you know what? That would make sense. That would make sense because. And people haven't realized it yet, but The Mandalorian is a Western. Mm-hmm. Star Trek was, you know, nicknamed the wagon train to mm-hmm. the stars.
Right.
So, yes, it may have been similar to a Star Trek episode.
So there's a lot of people
but
who
it
keep
also
saying,
was similar to a Western.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where the guy with no name comes to town and
Shane.
The town's being terrorized. You know, any Western TV
yeah.
series
oh, yeah.
has that episode.
There's a whole... There's a whole storyline that
little
you can
Joe,
do in...
Little Yoda, Little Joe, you know?
Like, that's Westworld, right? That's the whole storyline. That's the whole reason you go to Westworld.
Mandalorian's
is to do,
Hoss.
Yeah, Hoss. Yeah, right? No, oh,
Cara
oh.
Dune's Hoss.
Yeah, Cara Dune is
Cara
Hoss.
Cara Dune's Hoss. The Mandalorian's Adam.
Yeah.
And the baby is Little baby Joe.
Is a Little Joe. So, Baby Yoda is forever known as Little Joe. But yeah, this was a great. I thought this was a great
episode.
It's
not Baby Yoda; it's just the child.
Well, but Dave Filoni called it Baby Yoda in an episode, so
yeah,
everyone's calling it Baby Yoda. Or what did you? You said Yoder last week.
Yoder,
yeah. Yoder, Baby Yoder.
The youngling.
The youngling, yeah. The foundling.
That's what Elva called him. Elva calls it the youngling.
Yeah. Because, well, they've said it's a he.
Well, yeah, you know.
So
we don't know. We don't know that Yoda was a he. It's an it. It's an alien. It's an
I don't
it.
Know. So.
No, because she hurt. And I asked her. I said, well, why are you calling it a youngling?
Yeah.
Like, what's your definition for it's a youngling and not the child as the, you know, it's entitled. She goes, because it used the force.
Uh-huh.
She goes, so all the kids that were at the academy were called younglings.
Yeah.
And
when,
like, fair enough.
In Rebels, when
I'm
they
not
going to
argue.
In Rebels, when they were going to find the young force users.
Yeah.
Ahsoka refers to him as the younglings.
Yeah,
so,
I'm like, okay. I'm like,
yeah,
fair enough.
All right, cool. Good episode. We got Cara Dune finally.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for Gina Carano to show up for 4 episodes, and just like that, she was gone.
You think she's gone?
No, she's not gone. Yeah. But I wanted her to leave with him.
No,
you know,
no.
I thought that would have been nice.
I think it's one of those things where they're going to run into each other and be like, oh, hey.
They, what was the line from Oblivion? They made an effective team.
Yeah, well, they do make an effective team.
Are you still an effective team? Dude, she kicked his ass.
She'd kick our asses.
Oh, yeah. So, all right. So I've been.
And I'm mean. That's the thing. I'm mean, and I'll still get my ass kicked.
I've been a Gina Carano fan since, like, she was kickboxing back in the day and doing MMA and all that stuff. And then, do you remember when she was on American Gladiators, the revival of that?
I never watched it.
Okay. So she was on that, and. You know, but she was still doing MMA at the same time and all of that.
I think the first thing I'd seen her in was Haywire, and I don't even remember that movie that well.
Haywire is an excellent movie, and if you have not seen it, definitely go. It is. It's awesome.
A Bourne movie with a female lead.
It's her. It's Channing Tatum. It's Ewan. Freaking Michael Fassbender's in it for a minute.
Males that are in stuff.
It is a really good movie. And then, obviously, she's in Deadpool, and... You know, she's just a badass.
She kind of was unrecognizable in that because she had buffed up so much. And it was like, I sat there going, is that, I'm like, because she's smaller in Haywire.
She was thinner. She was leaner. But she did. She bulked for the role.
Like bulked up.
I still contend she should have been Wonder Woman. Like, I don't know. I think Wonder Woman, she's a good
comic book never has looked like, you know, a giant buffed woman like that.
Yeah,
so.
But I don't know. I'm just saying she's got the physicality, obviously. Not that Gal Gadot did a horrible job or anything. It's just I like that she was hiding out in this little village, not helping, you know.
She was part of the rebels, but now everybody wants to kill her.
Well, she was a rebel shock trooper. Right. So she was Black Ops. So yeah, people definitely want to kill her. She didn't like being a peacekeeper, which I thought was interesting. I'm sure there's plenty of just kind of rebel warmongers out there.
It just sounds like the rebellion has turned into a joke.
Well, I mean, the New Republic's a joke.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, the New Republic's a joke.
So I mean, let's be honest. Like, the whole idea of the Empire fell when... You know, they blew up the Death Star above the moon on Endor there.
Right, yeah.
Like, that wasn't the case. I mean, there's still, like, bits and pieces of the Empire out there.
Yeah, it's all faction. But it's the same as, you know, the Rebellion was a bunch of factions.
Right. It's just the opposite side. They're the Rebels now. The Empire is the Rebels now. But the New Republic never actually did what they needed to do to secure their foothold.
Exterminate.
And part of that is because Mon Mothma was a relatively ineffective leader. Huh?
Pacifist?
She was a pacifist, yeah. But she was an ineffective leader. And you see that in the books. I don't know.
This all goes to my Marvel should do a what if series.
Yeah. What if?
What if the rebels followed Saul Guerrera?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
There you go.
Because, I mean, even like... You know, I know we're supposed to, like, give a ton of reverence to Leia because Carrie Fisher was great and she's dead now and all that. But Leia never got it done either.
Leia wasn't there to get it done. Leia was just a component in the whole, you know, the machine.
But, I mean, you know, even but when she needed to, you know, get people to rally around her and stuff, they didn't. So...
Like I said, she was just a component in the machine.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, if you look at her, she was always put on backwater assignments and, you know, eventually just became a rebel within the rebellion.
She's an extremist.
I don't even think she was.
Within the rebellion, she was an extremist.
And that's why they just pushed her down to, you know.
But, like, when you, again, but, like, let's go
Leia,
back.
Leia, we're sending you to Hoth.
So, but then if you look back at the EU stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was a different, completely different Leia.
Well, even Leia in the Marvel comics has a little bit more, like, story.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's not just, you feel like she's just being pushed to the side.
Right.
That because the story's about Luke Skywalker, obviously, but like there's more of interaction with Alderaanians who survived, and
it's one of my favorite things about the Marvel series.
Is like, you know, the thing with this story with her was there was no like point where you've seen her grieving for her parents, her planet, you know, none of that was really there because. They would have had to make it a TV show. Mm-hmm. It would have had to been like Star Trek or something, you know, which even then Star Trek didn't acknowledge stuff too long.
Right.
Or they would acknowledge stuff over a period of time.
So anyway, back to the Mandalorian though. Little tangent, fun tangent, but a little tangent. The
Star Trek Lorian.
The Star Trek Lorian. The Spockalorian.
No, no, it would still be the Mandalorian in there somewhere, but you know.
So the raiders of
Mandalorian
this,
Trek.
So there's this village being raided, and a couple of the guys.
Everybody knows that they watched it last.
Track
week
down Mando.
Did.
I love the AT-ST with the red repaint. Eyes. Yeah, that was great. The repaint. That's obviously the toy.
And the Lego set.
Yep.
And,
yep.
Whatever they could plaster on Mandalorian too, so they could sell it.
That was really cool. The one. The
hey
lady,
kids, get out there and get your Mandalorian stuff now.
So Omira. The mom in the village who was totally thirsty for the Mando's D.
Sometimes.
What?
Sometimes.
Too far?
Too far. Yes, too far.
Anyway, she was like, you could just take your mask off and
did
live here with me.
Did you think that maybe she was a Mandalorian?
I did, actually.
Yeah.
Because of the way she understood everything.
She knew what he was.
Yeah. She understood everything.
You were one of those. You took your mask off.
Yep. So
you revealed yourself. Now you're not part of the way.
No, she was not the way any longer.
It's nice to see that they write that character as he does have thoughts about like what if I just became a guy?
Pack it up, pack it in.
Maybe that makes sense of why his helmet was in Dock on Dars. He totally sells it to him and goes back to that planet and lives with her.
Oh.
Yes. That would be the cool way to end
that's
the show.
End.
Plus, Doc Ondar would be in the series.
Yeah.
Because we only see aliens in the dark.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Bunch of dogs.
Yeah.
Well, at least it was aliens we've seen before. So.
Yep. And then she had her kid, Winta. Not Winter. Winta with an A.
You can't
just say Winter. That's not right. The W word. Never mind.
It's coming.
Yeah, but she could shoot like it was nobody's business and she understood
war.
Because
she was a Mandalorian.
Yeah. So.
They won't leave that just there.
I don't think they will.
No.
I mean, because so I don't think Kara's going to leave the planet. I think he's going to go back to that planet and get her.
You think?
I do. I think he's going to come
across
something.
I think she's
going
to clear out, too, because the bounty hunters will be coming to that planet.
Yeah, maybe. But did she have a bounty on her?
Yeah,
like,
she said she had a bounty on her.
So yeah.
She thought he was there to get
her. Yeah, I knew she thought he was there to get
that's
her.
That's why
but,
she kicked his ass.
So, I don't know. I thought Bryce Dallas Howard.
Just
Howard,
so you know, Mandalorian, you may be the best at your business, but I'm about to kick your ass.
So, Bryce Dallas Howard directed this one, written by Jon Favreau. A whole bunch of funny stuff. Like I saw a ton of articles talking about how this was directed by Bryce Dallas Howard, and by doing so, that's
has
why
she directed anything else?
Yeah, she's done some stuff.
Okay.
This was not her first thing. But like that's why Omira and Kara were such powerful female characters because she was directing it. All right, let me explain something about how television works.
Let me explain something to you.
Yeah.
Most people should not care and read that stuff.
I agree. But the director is not the most powerful person on the set for a television show. It's the writer. It is. It's the writer's room and the showrunner. And that's Jon Favreau. Like, Jon Favreau.
So you're saying, like, the producer is the most powerful thing?
Yeah.
The same as a movie. Producer is the most powerful.
Well, I guess. I mean, it depends on who the director is. But Jon Favreau understands this world and these characters and handpicked directors who understood this vision and had an interesting stylistic component to how they handle.
I feel like Jon Favreau just asked some of his friends, hey, you
want
to direct a Star
Wars? And he
episode?
Picked all good ones. So like we're about to go back. So Dave Filoni is the next one. Rick Famuyiwa? I don't know how you say his last
Fujiyama?
Name. Fujiyama?
Is that
how you say
know.
It?
I don't know.
He directed he directed The Child. So he had directed episode two. Deborah Chow is coming back. For episode 7, and she directed.
Who's directing the finale?
Taika Waititi.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
IG-11 will be back.
So anyway, yeah, man. I just think one. I don't think this episode was as strong as episode 3, But I also think it was that needed downbeat to build back to
but
build
your favorite
up.
Episode was two, wasn't it?
No, three.
Three?
Yeah, three was.
And that's
the best
only because
one.
Of the ending where they just splash everything all over
the
place.
Oh, dude, the fan service in episode three, like, I totally fanboyed out.
Yeah,
then
like, that's the thing. That's the only reason that you liked that episode.
But I liked. Well, I told you. I've told everybody this. Like, I want a whole, like, companion YouTube series where the armorer is just building Mandalorian armor. Like, you know, I liked how they pushed the story of the Mandalorians.
Yeah.
I liked seeing all the different Mandalorian armor in action. I thought that was cool. But yeah.
So there's the guy who played Paz Vizsla.
Oh, the actor in this. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the suit.
He's also been in Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, Breaking Bad, and Westworld.
Cool. Cool, cool. But yeah, it was a good episode. It really was.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It did exactly what it needed to do to move the story on. And yeah, there's zero complaints. It's awesome where it's going.
That's where I recognized her from. Yeah. Omera was in Twilight.
Oh.
Eclipse, the Twilight Eclipse movie.
I.
She was also on Westworld.
I only saw the first one.
Kohana.
So. Okay.
But I was like, man, she looks familiar, but I can't place where, and I don't go looking.
Okay. So then the other thing is coming up. So there's a new one on Friday, December 6th. So you guys have seen that one already, hopefully. Then the next one is December 13th. And then December 18th. So that Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then
I read that article.
December 27th is the finale after
what?
Rise of Skywalker.
Not on Christmas Day?
So. I feel like that's like old TV thinking, right? Like,
what's that?
Moving it around.
The only reason they're moving it around is because there is a preview for Rise of Skywalker attached to that episode.
To the
Mandalorian one that's on the 18th.
Oh, okay.
The movie comes out the 19th. So they're giving you a little clip.
You're going, what time are you going on?
6.
Okay. And you're going at Milford?
Yeah.
Cool. Cool, cool. All right. So, So the other thing this week is there's been a bunch of really cool trailers that have come out.
Yeah.
Neither one of us watched the James Bond one yet because you didn't watch Spectre and I only watched half of Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, I figure I have to go back and watch Spectre now. but it got a lot of good buzz. And then we just watched the Mulan trailer right before we started recording the live action Mulan.
Yeah.
It looks really good. Like, I think the style looks good. I think, you know, all the costuming and all that look amazing.
Well, yeah.
So,
yeah, that stuff's been shown. That looks cool.
So, yeah, so there's a running joke here that I haven't seen Mulan.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to have to watch it to get ready to see this.
Well, to see the compare and contrast of it. And that the thing that, like I said, the Lion King lacked. There was no compare and contrast.
Yeah, it was just it with some added bits.
The thing that most people complain about, I liked, and that was the Be Prepared thing where he didn't sing the song. He just said the stuff and the music played in the background. And that because Chiwetel can sing.
Yeah.
And that if you sing Kinky Boots. Kinky Boots.
Okay, so this one is directed by Nikki Caro.
What's that?
Oh, Mulan.
Oh.
She has directed, let's see, The Zookeeper's Wife. Ooh, McFarland, USA. I like that one. Whale Rider. That was a big one. She's directed a bunch of shorts and stuff like that.
Whale Rider.
Yeah, it was that one.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
The one with the girl who played Queen Jamila.
Yep.
And what you call it?
So, and then it's I mean, it's basically a who's who cast of Asian actors. You have Jason Scott Lee, you have Jet Li, Donnie Yen. I guess you would say her name is Iffy Liu, Yeffy Liu, something like that, as Mulan. So
yeah, she's new, I think. It's probably Yifei.
Yifei, yeah.
Yifei Liu.
That's probably right. Yeah.
Or as she was born Liu Yifei.
Yeah. She's got 25 credits to her on her IMDb.
Okay, she was in The Forbidden Kingdom.
Yeah.
That's probably the only thing in America that she's known for.
Yeah. So, and then, like I said, Donnie Yen, Jet Li, Lee Gong is in it. So she was in Miami Vice, huh? Oh, cool. But yeah, this actually, like, you know, since we have the Disney
Jet
Plus
Li's playing the Emperor?
Yeah. Since we have Disney Plus, I'm definitely going to go ahead and watch Mulan.
Oh, so Jason Scott Lee is the bad guy.
Yeah.
Bori Khan.
Okay.
Instead of, what was his name? God, I can't remember his name. That played, was the bad guy in the original.
Okay.
I will look it up real fast.
He was in, Jason Scott Lee.
Sean Yu. Miguel Ferrer played Sean Yu.
He was in Back to the Future 2.
Who?
Jason Scott Lee. He played Whitey.
Yeah, part of Griff's gang.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, yeah, I thought it looked really good.
B.D. Wong's not in it?
Huh.
B.D. Wong played a voice in the original. I'm like, that would have been something where I would have tried to get him in. Rosalind Chow is playing Mulan's mother.
Okay.
And that, so that's cool.
All right. And then the other one.
There's Indian actors in it, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very cool. All right.
Roger Yoon. Oh, sweet.
So we watched the trailer and you were commenting about how some things were different. Like, is there anything you want to see out of this that's different, or?
Well, there was the whole thing where they were wondering if, what's his name, was going to be in it, Mushu. And I was hoping that Mushu's not in it.
Was that Eddie Murphy?
That was the dragon. Okay. Yeah. The dragon. The lizard. Dragon. I think it's funny that Jet Li is playing the Emperor because he seems a bit young.
Yeah.
And that Pat Morita played the Emperor in the animated. And Donnie Yen, Commander Tung. So they're going to cut out the romance part too.
That's good.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Like, you don't need romance in everything, so.
It's a Disney movie. You need romance.
Oh. Speaking of Disney, there was a funny post saying that they're glad The Mandalorian is on Disney Plus and not HBO.
Yeah.
Because with Disney, you know Baby Yoda is safe. With HBO, they would they'd put that little MF-er in a wood chipper.
Maybe.
So, yeah. All right, let's talk about Black Widow. That was a good trailer.
Yeah.
It's nice to see Hopper survives the Russian interrogation and becomes, you know, part of the Black Widow program.
You're trying to put
Stranger Things is a prequel to the MCU.
No, it's
this
not.
Is yeah, no. They're the mutants. No. This is how they're going to tie it all together.
Nope, not at all.
Again, a trailer not without controversy. It's got
why is controversy?
So there are Grace. What's her?
I had never looked at the cast of Mulan the animated.
Yeah.
The guy who plays Bonnie Bedelia's boss in Die Hard played one of the voices in this. And I always was like, man, that voice sounds familiar. General Lee.
Oh, okay.
He plays General Lee.
I haven't seen the movie yet.
Yeah.
So, but now that I know, I'll know that. Grace, what's her name? She's one of the big YouTube movie reviewers. She's... Oh.
Like I said, I don't watch these people. Especially YouTube movie reviewers. They want to make themselves sound like they're legitimate.
Well, so
and they're not. I know YouTube has power.
Yeah, it does. Well,
I don't like the voice.
Yeah, she was on she was the Marvel insider for a long time.
Is that another YouTube channel?
It was through Marvel. It was a thing Marvel did years and years. Grace Randolph. Thank you.
Grace
Randolph. We've talked about Grace Randolph before.
Who complains about everything.
So Grace Randolph went out and was, fat shaming Florence Pugh and Rachel Weisz in the scene where they're all sitting around the table.
Okay.
And she was talking about how they look chubby. So let me give a little background on Grace
Randolph. Isn't Rachel Weisz like 40s?
Yeah.
We all get a little chubby when we're in our 40s. Yeah.
Anyway. So this is the woman who loved everything Marvel until Guardians of the Galaxy came out, right?
Okay.
And then she bashed the shit out of it because it was written by a different... Because the original screenplay was written by a woman.
Yeah.
Who she was competed against in the comic book industry.
Okay.
So it was total sour grapes, right? And, like, it was just totally ridiculous. And so since then, she's kind of, like, leaned into that. Like, I hate Marvel. I'm the counter... Blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
And you're right. She does. She hates on stuff that she's like, you know, just to hate on.
Oh, there's people on YouTube that do that.
And then now she's doing the whole, you know, like, oh, well, you know, this person is fat. And it's like, that's not true. Like, you know, one, Florence Pugh, who was in the Fighting With My Family movie, the wrestling movie about
Paige. She's
the
one that's
the
playing her sister?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, she is absolutely, like, not a you know, anyway, if the only person who's fat in the movie so far that I've seen is
David
Harbour.
And he's playing an older version of a superhero that he played when, that he's supposed to have been when he was younger.
You know, I mean, obviously the Russian jailers were feeding him very well. Like, maybe they were feeding him, like, roast demigorgon or something like that.
Have you heard that one?
What?
They're rebooting Honey, I Shrunk the Kids with Josh Gad.
Why?
With the original director. The original director directing it. Okay. Joe Johnston.
Okay.
It's going to take place during World War II.
No.
The Rocketeer and Captain America are going to show up.
Oh. That'd be pretty funny. Anyway. But yeah, I don't know. It's like that. I will say, while I thought the trailer looked really good and the action looks really good, and I'm curious as to what the story is, this movie is 10 years, not 10 years, it's 6 years too late.
Why?
Because they killed her in Endgame. There are like, I know what happens to this character now. I'm like,
and that matters. Why?
Because, like, there's at no time that she'll be in peril where I think, oh, she's going to, like, die or get hurt or killed or anything.
I don't think that's going to be this type of movie.
I don't
know. Plus, she's always been a character where never worried about her being in peril.
Well, yeah, but
of all the characters in the Avengers movies, she was like one of the least ones where I was worried about this character's going to die.
Yeah.
She chose when she was going to die. She was that character. She was literally that character where I'm going to choose when I die.
Yeah, and it's saying this is after she leaked all the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff and is on the run from her enemies.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I say it's taking place between Infinity War and Endgame. Mm. It's all about the hair length.
Anyway.
Did she have long hair in Infinity War?
No.
She had blonde, short
hair. She had blonde hair in Infinity, short blonde
hair. And she cut it at the end of Civil War. She had a different hairstyle than she does in that movie.
Yeah, but I was talking about Winter Soldier.
Well, Winter Soldier. You know what I'm saying.
So, but anyway.
At the end of Winter Soldier, I'm pretty sure she cut her hair so she could disguise herself.
I don't know. We'll find out next year in May. I want this movie to do well in the box office.
I think it will.
Because, one, she's the OG Marvel, like,
my
female.
My thing with this is it's that thing where I'm like, I look forward to movies like this more in that MCU universe now because it's something different.
Yeah.
Even if it is taking place in between something, it's still something different.
Yeah. It's directed by, what's her name? Kate Shortland.
Okay.
Shortland. She did Somersault, Lore, and the Berlin Syndrome. That's her directing credits.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, not a lot of stuff, but you know, Marvel,
I have no issue with that.
Marvel does well with these like kind of directors. I mean, Peyton Reed had directed Bring It On before he did Ant-Man, you know. He done
Bring It On was
stuff
like
too,
a long but, time
yeah, before. But I mean, but Bring It On was, I think, the thing he was most well known
yeah.
for. So yeah, I think the whole the Red Guardian thing will be interesting to see that aged superhero.
Did you see that one? The ABC News celebrating Marvel's Stan Lee?
No.
Yeah, it says, I seen this yesterday. It's True Believers celebrate the life and legacy of Stan Lee in a new primetime TV special featuring celebrities and creators from across the Marvel Universe and never-before-seen footage. Friday, December 20th at 8 o'clock.
Interesting.
So, that's cool.
I hope that's on Hulu the next day.
It might be. It's
sure
an ABC,
it yeah.
so you know.
So
that's cool. That's something that like kind of wasn't expected.
Yeah.
Pretty nice that ABC's doing something unexpected.
Yeah.
And then Marvel announced a new comic book, The Strange Academy.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, Scotty Young and Humberto Ramos.
That'll be good. So.
Yeah, well.
What did you think of Taskmaster? Taskmaster.
It looks too much like Hawkeye.
Yeah. Do you think it's not Taskmaster? You think it's Hawkeye?
I don't think it's Hawkeye.
No. You were saying you thought it might be.
No, I didn't say that. Somebody else said that.
Oh, I thought that, no. that was you.
Because at first I was like, where was he? Because people were talking about him. I'm like, Housewives. Was he in the trailer?
Yeah.
And then I had to go back and watch it again. Like, oh, there he is.
I think it's interesting to throw Taskmaster into the Black Widow movie.
It's just introducing the character. And
yeah.
And, you know, when the new Black Widows teamed up with the new Avengers, because that's the way they're going.
So Florence Pugh is Yelena Belova, who is a Black Widow, a sister figure to...
this is all from the comic books.
Yeah.
This and is then, all from the Marvel Knights
yep.
stuff.
And then Rachel Weisz as Melina, who is
the trainer.
The trainer who
right,
essentially
yeah.
ran the Red Room.
Right.
So, yeah, this will be I feel like this will be good. I feel like this will be in the vein of Winter Soldier, the whole like
spy
thriller,
yeah.
which, you know, I'm always on board for a good spy thriller.
Right.
You know, I just want the James Bond movie to be better than Spectre was.
You didn't finish watching
because
it
was so bad. I turned
no,
it off and
then
never went back to it.
You can't say it's bad until so, you finish watching
well,
it. You have to
first,
watch a whole movie
the first
to say
half,
it was terrible.
The first
like,
half
gamer.
Was so bad.
Gamer. gamer. I could have stopped that at any time, but I'm like, eh, there might be something good happening. No. No.
I wasn't that bullish on the anything good happening at the end of the movie. Sorry.
Terrible.
Terrible?
It was terrible. Sorry. I said... when you guys start, we're
yeah.
talking about on thread. I said this looks like it will take place between Infinity War and Endgame,
yeah.
and introduce us to the new Black Widow. And then you said they said between Winter Soldier and Civil War, but who knows? And I said, was her hair that long? And then I literally pulled out every picture of her that I could find between
yeah.
movies, and it's like, oh wait, that hair length looks the same. And then Casey had to put in the girl with the pearl earring, and I pulled the rug out from everybody. With North.
North was a good one. I threw Ghost World in there.
Everybody knows she was in Ghost World.
Yeah.
Nobody knows she was in North because she was like
10.
8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the baby.
yeah. Yeah, because he threw in the towel at that point. I give up.
I don't know. Like I said, I want this movie to do well because, one, Scarlett Johansson deserves it, earned it.
Scarlett Johansson's had like a very successful career.
No. I'm saying from the Marvel, for a solo MCU film, she's earned this, and like I hope people really support it. And you know.
Oh, you're saying so. Like she deserved this movie the whole time?
She did.
She earned this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, she earned it. It wasn't a deserve thing.
No.
She earned this.
And I said
she
earned it.
She earned
she
it by
it
playing
and...
this character and being good at what yeah. she was doing.
But she was good at what she was doing the whole time. There was never a point where, like, she was bad as Natasha Romanoff.
She should just thank Jon Favreau.
Yeah.
As should everybody else at yeah. this point. Disney should thank Jon Favreau. Disney Plus would not be as successful as it is without Jon Favreau.
Right.
Well, you know.
I mean, even South Park has done two episodes in a row now where they talk about Disney Plus. And this last episode from last night was geared all around Disney Plus.
How did they get, like, they're just making up stuff?
Well, yeah. So, like, the kids all want to watch The Mandalorian. The one kid's dad works for the cable company. He's all pissed off that everybody's cutting the cable. So they turn the internet off in South Park.
Oh, okay.
You know, so they have to watch cable. But then, you know, it's really funny, though, because the cable guy's, all right, we're going to meet. We're gonna meet at this place between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. and like they all like, show up at like 7:15.
Right, they're all late. Yeah. But if they showed at 7:15, then they're actually early.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, they should have been like 2 or 3 hours late.
But there is a fun. The funny part was like when the guy gets the first call to go do like some cable service.
Yeah.
The dispatcher's like, "Look, man, we have a bad reputation. You have to go there right now." And he goes, "I'll get there as soon as I can." Stops at McDonald's, takes the McDonald's to the lake and eats lunch by the lake.
Yeah,
makes like two more stops.
Yeah,
goes.
Stopped and got a milkshake.
Yeah, because
it takes a long time for a milkshake to be made.
Right.
And then to drink it
and
takes
then
a little
he,
while.
So then when he gets there, he's 15 minutes late outside the window, and he goes, "Well, I'm only 15 minutes late."
That's because he had to pick up his Uber. Right, because, you know,
he's drunk at that point.
Well, he had to do his Uber, too. He had to go.
Oh, he's the Uber driver.
He's the Uber driver, right. So he picks him up in the cable van and drops him off wherever.
One star.
gets him there late.
But, yeah. Anyway, so a lot of interesting stuff going on right now.
Did you watch the Crisis on Infinite Earths trailer?
I did.
Okay. What did you think?
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch anything else. I'm not going to go back and watch any of this
stuff, but I'm going
to just watch it.
I'm almost caught up on The Flash last season. I've got 3 episodes left now because I didn't watch it. Obviously, I was on vacation. But, yeah, that's been interesting.
I think it's crazy that they're going to take a month off in between.
In between?
Yeah.
Well, the world's going to end, and then it's going to come back, and Oliver's going to be the Spectre fighting Anti-Monitor at the end of the universe.
That's fine, but, like...
I totally just made that up, like, a few weeks ago, but I'm like, man, wouldn't it be cool if Oliver actually is the Spectre? Like, if he's the one, he's recruited by God to become the Spectre because, you know, God failed this universe. Yeah.
God, you failed.
The only thing I complained about with the trailer is they didn't show the Anti-Monitor. I was hoping they would show, because it's the same guy playing the monitor, playing the Anti-Monitor.
Okay.
LaMonica Garrett, I think is his name. But like everything that he's done as the monitor has like been kind of, you're like, yeah, that's the monitor. It's like he's, you know, creepy and all that. So I don't know. I look forward to it. But I'll have to watch all of the Arrow episodes before I watch it.
Oh, really?
Arrow's tying into it, like, more than anything else. So that's the thing with, like, Oliver in the trailer is, like, a major focal point is because of the Elseworlds last year.
Is that when they switched?
Well, yeah, that's when they switched. But at a certain point, Kara and Barry almost died. And Oliver made a deal with the Monitor. That they never really showed until the end of that last season of Arrow, find out what the deal was. And because what the Elseworlds story was a cool setup, and calling it Elseworlds made sense because it's the Monitor testing heroes to see who will be the ones who fight to save the universe.
So if I watch Elseworlds...
You can watch Elseworlds.
And then watch like the last episode of Arrow, I should be okay?
You should be fine, yeah. But like the thing with this season from watching the little trailers and that, because I've been avoiding that in a way, is that like last season they were doing flash forwards instead of flashbacks.
Yeah, that's what you said last
and
week.
That, which Jeff gave me the heads up on that one. And that, so the flash forwards were involving his daughter, who, you know, we do find out was born before the end of that season. So it's not one of those things where it's like, pull the rug out from under you and like Oliver's got a daughter with Felicity and that they have a kid before the end of the season's over, but like you're seeing her in the future interacting with William, his son, the one that like was revealed in like season two or season three, and that in the future, and Roy's there, and the Canary, the one that's the cop, and then Black Canary shows up at one point.
Yeah,
or Siren or whatever you want to call her, Black Siren or Black Canary, and that. But the future thing was cool. But like in this season, I guess one of the things with the monitor moving Oliver around throughout the universe is that he's met his daughter, and she's part of his team that's okay. like, you know, trying to do whatever they need to do. Because she's in the trailer for Crisis too.
Yeah,
she's just looks like a canary. She's mm-hmm. wearing black leather and all that. So, and Diggle's son from the future is in that too. So, cool. I don't know. It's cool. I mean, you know. The one certainty is that Oliver dies at the end of this.
Okay.
The one uncertainty is what's going to happen to Barry, because it's always been foreshadowed that Barry disappears in the crisis.
Yeah, he disappears in the crisis.
So we'll see. I mean, in the trailer, they show Supergirl's Earth gets destroyed, so.
Oh, so they're all.
They're all evacuated in that, so.
So they are going to end up on
I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, the crisis is a big story in the comic book. Yeah. So it's like to do it in a 5-episode arc over a month and a half. You know, it's like it's going to be a big deal, I guess. It'll be interesting to watch it all at once. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait until the whole thing's like on there and then watch it all at once as a movie. Because I think that's the way to watch it.
Yeah.
That was the way to watch Crisis on Earth X. That was the way to watch Elseworlds. It was literally like a 3-hour movie.
Yeah,
I'm waiting
until it's all done to watch
it. But that's the way Elseworlds was definitely made to watch.
Yeah.
Which it was cool to see John Wesley Shipp in the 90s costume. It's cool when he and it's not a spoiler because it's in the trivia. He meets Diggle and he says, "John, where's your ring?" Because in his universe, John Diggle is John Stewart. And we know that because Diggle's stepdad's name is Stewart. So, and I was like, that's cool. I'm like, that was a cool thing to throw out there. And that, but yeah, it's going to be cool to see all the actors from previous superhero stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to seeing Brandon Routh as Kingdom Come.
Yeah, that'll be cool to see him back.
What it looks like Conroy's playing Kingdom Come Batman. Because he's literally wearing
the armor and everything.
Yeah, and so. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
It was interesting because he walks down and he's like, Kate, or whatever her name is.
Well, in the Elseworlds, the way they explain Batman and Gotham is really well done. Because I thought, it could be really dorky if you do it that way. But they explain it that it's existed in the universe with Arrow the whole time. Batman's always just been a legend.
Yeah. An urban legend.
Yeah, literally, like, nobody really thought he existed.
Because I know, like, and I haven't watched any of Batwoman, and to be honest, the trailers turned me off completely.
She's in it. She's in Elseworlds.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't ever have to watch this show.
I like her.
Yeah.
Like, I she was really good in Orange is the New Black.
It just looks very awkward. Like, it's the thing where that costume in the comic book fits, but because there's, I don't know if it's like it's to me, it was a design thing, is that she has the costume on. It's the comic book costume.
Yeah, I've seen it.
But they don't white her face, like that pale white.
Yeah. They just leave it
her face with like red lipstick on. And I'm like, that doesn't work, because the costume and the way she wore the costume in the comic book is she paled her face.
Yeah.
Like, so you didn't know it was her. Mm. And I'm like, that don't work. And then, you know, the whole Bruce Wayne's my cousin.
Yeah.
And that's the way they're using that storyline. It's like, okay. But, you know, it's still fun to look forward to that type of stuff. Just, I mean, and, you know, catching up on Arrow and catching up on Flash. I'm like, you know, I'm glad I took a break. But, you know, I'm happy to watch them again.
Yeah.
And that, the story with Excess has been very interesting. Mm-hmm. You question if she really is his daughter all the way up until the point that I'm at. So I'm wondering if, you know, there'll be a big reveal where it's like, this really isn't your daughter.
No, it's your granddaughter.
Yeah. Yeah, in the comic books, she was his granddaughter. So it was Impulse.
Yeah.
Because they were the kids of Dawn and Dawn.
Right.
Right. So.
Interesting. So.
And she writes in Interlac, and I'm like, why are you writing in Interlac? Because, and then it makes sense. They explain it.
Yeah.
That she was taught by somebody to write that way. So. Yeah, I figured that one out like pretty easily, like who her mentor was. And I'm like, I might be right. Mm-hmm. And I told Elva, I said, I think this is what's happening, because Elva's been watching episodes but not watching the whole thing. And I said, I think this is who her mentor is. And then they show him, and I'm like, yep, it's him.
Mm-hmm. Cool. But there's something else I wanted to say about all this. Oh, the costumes, right?
What costumes?
The DC costumes, sure. for stuff.
You're talking like the TV series,
just
costumes?
All of them. Like I'm gonna do like, because I'm gonna throw Titans in there as well.
Okay.
Like I feel like they've done a relatively good job of the costumes of late.
Right.
Like the Flash costume is great.
Well, the Flash costume's always been like a progressive,
right.
thing. Like it was in
the
comic
cool
books
thing
for
about
a while.
It, right.
But like the one that he has now is the one that XS has brought back from the future.
Uh-huh.
So she gave him the ring. Yeah, and like Cisco figured out how it works, and
cool.
I'm like chicken and the egg right there. So
and then yeah, so I like the Flash costume, like the Arrow costume, the way that's gone has been interesting.
Now that it's the Green Arrow, yeah. like that he's been the Green mm-hmm. Arrow, and it's like pretty much the same. It's been the same since he became Green Arrow season 3, so it's just tweaked it a little bit. The hood went away. Yeah. The hood's gone away a little bit.
So, like the hood, Adam,
the
was,
hood's back this year.
The Adam was a good costume.
Yeah.
I thought the Black Canary costumes have always been relatively good. It fit the spirit of the character.
I liked Black Siren's costume because of the fact that it was the long coat and she had the leggings. So it made her look dangerous.
Oh, the fishnets and stuff. Yeah,
I mean, well, it wasn't fishnets. Oh. It was just like...
Oh, just leggings.
Like, you know, they were kind of see-through, but it was leggings. And it was that with the long coat thing made her look dangerous. So you're like, this isn't the normal Black Canary type thing. So that was always a cool design to me. And White Canary's costume just has been the white bodysuit. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, like the design for the Kingdom Come... Superman and Crisis.
Yeah.
Like they didn't do that wrong at all.
Right.
So Superman's costume on Supergirl looks cool because it's that fact that this isn't Earth One.
Yeah, it's like it looks a lot like Mon-El, like from from the Legion.
A little bit more
comic.
Of that, yeah.
Which makes a little bit of sense. I've always kinda liked Supergirl's costume. Like I never thought they did a bad job with it. I haven't seen the new one yet.
With the pants instead of the skirt.
Oh, cool.
And I'm like, it looks more like flight suit, like a flight suit type thing.
Like a Kryptonian suit.
Well, yeah. So. It looks more like, you know, because she's worked with DEO all these years and that. But like I think now she's not working with the DEO. So it was just come up with a new costume and it's a Kryptonian design, it looks more.
Like I thought aside from like the whiting out the face, right? Like, I think the Batgirl or Batwoman costume looks good.
The wig is weird.
But the wig looks weird in the comics anyway, depending on who draws it.
Like,
because it's that weird part in between the ears.
Yeah.
It doesn't just go back.
Yeah, like, I think that the whiting of the face would have made me go, okay.
So, because like Barbara with her Batgirl costume and Stephanie, the hair flowed out the back of the cowl, right? Like, this is just the whole top of her top and back of her head.
Kate doesn't have hair. Yeah. She's
really short hair, so she wears the wig.
I think it was the fact that they just threw together a costume really fast because they had decided to do this character.
Yeah.
And she was having trouble moving. Like, you could tell, like, literally there were parts where it was like her just standing there real stiff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, they didn't plan this out too well.
So, but then you go to, like, Titans, right?
Yeah.
And, they introduced the Nightwing costume at the end of the last
Superboy's
episode, which was
there.
Called Nightwing. Superboy found a black t-shirt at a kiosk in an outdoor mall and, you know, stole it, which was cool. And
that's
then,
the way that would
right.
be the way that would happen, yeah.
Beast Boy has got, like, a very, like, comic Doom Patrol-looking jacket that he wears.
Okay.
Raven.
Yeah.
Her costume is, she's got this, like, real long black cloak coat thing with a hood. She has a great like the gem in her head is perfect.
Oh, okay.
It's spot on. Let's see what the Nightwing costume is great. The Robin costumes are great.
So have they said is Titans going to be part of HBO Max?
No, it's going to be exclusive to the DC Universe, which is really weird. I don't know why they're doing
that. Why are they doing all that?
Because I don't know. Because it's fucking Warner Brothers and they're greedy as shit.
So they're doing HBO Max, which they own, and they're doing
DC
Universe.
Like the DC Universe needs to just be folded into HBO Max.
Well, HBO Max should just carry it all. Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know, it's that thing where, you know, Netflix will get hurt by that too, but like the CW stuff should all be on HBO Max.
So, well, that contract goes for a little bit longer.
Well, it'll go until the end of Flash, probably.
Even as the series end, though, they stay on Netflix for a while. It was a pretty lengthy.
Seasons are on there, so.
Well, they all show up 8 days after. I will say the Robin costumes are great on Titans, both the Dick Grayson and the Jason Todd.
Yeah.
And I will say this. The kid that plays Jason Todd makes me actually like the character, like the Jason Todd Robin.
Okay.
Because he's a little prick, and, like, he's fun and, like because of this kid.
Right.
The Deathstroke costume, other than the target reticule in the eye, which is like, okay, that's Deadshot, guys. Good try.
Well, it's that whole thing where is the targeting on the eye that's the actual eye?
No.
So how's he see what is he using a target for?
But Rose's costume was spot on.
Is she one eye too?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, okay. But like, you know, she's missing the side that doesn't have an eye does not have an
eye. Right. It's just
piece.
A flat piece like it was in the comic books.
And then there is an episode at the end of the first season where it's a hallucination, but you see Batman.
But like I've seen
the Batman
Hawk
costume
and Dove
awesome.
Costumes.
The
and
Hawk
like,
and Dove costumes are the
I'm
absolute
like, those
best.
Look great.
So
because that's Alan Ritchson.
Yep.
And
Minka Kelly.
Minka Kelly. So. And like. When I seen them, I didn't know who was cast.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, those are cool costumes. I don't know who the actors are.
Yeah.
Like, they literally made it where if they walked out on the street, you could be like, those are real superheroes.
Yep.
And then I'm like, I find out who's playing the characters. I'm like, that doesn't even look like
and
you can't
still,
tell that's
like,
them.
You still have to look at them.
Like, they really did a well design of a disguise.
Yep.
So.
And then, so I bring this up because I rewatched Watchmen yesterday. The movie, the Scott Snyder one.
Okay,
Which I've always liked that movie.
Yeah.
I had bought the director's cut on iTunes for like $4.99 a couple
like
months
that
ago.
Whole jumbo.
So it was like a little over 3 hours. And I bring up the costumes because Night Owl is the best Batman costume they've done.
Yeah.
Hands down.
It looks nothing like the Night Owl in the comic
book. Nothing like the Night Owl in the comic. But
on purpose because that was a terrible
It was a horrible
design anyway.
So, but like he can move in it.
Right.
He can move his head around.
He can kick.
You know, he can kick.
And
it
doesn't look awkward.
Yeah. Like, it's very smooth. Like, Silk Spectre's costume, you know, I mean, there's not much to it, but it looks good.
It's the thing where...
The comedian's costume is good.
The costumes from a comic book, try to keep them as similar to the, you know, source material as possible.
Like, Rorschach, his costume's not hard.
No.
But it would have been really easy to screw that up.
Yeah, I mean, Ozymandias looked like Ozymandias, even though he didn't have the purple. He just had the gold on
it. I don't know how far you are
all
in
the way.
Watch. Okay.
I caught up this
His
week.
Costume in the TV series is amazing.
Well, and I like that the TV series is following the comic book.
I can't wait to talk about this with you, by the way. I absolutely
cannot wait. Is the last episode
this
week?
I think there's two left.
Oh,
I think it's nine.
I caught up with everything this week.
But
that was Monday.
I am... Watchmen is the most interesting
Sitting
show
going,
on TV right now.
Today's Monday. I guess I'll watch The Watchmen.
And then I'll look
but
down
who's
and
going
say,
to watch me
no.
watching The Watchmen? And then I was like, what do I have for lunch today? Will it be pizza or a hamburger?
Or beans.
And I said no
Cold beans.
To the hamburger.
Is that bean juice? Human bean juice.
The best. Oh, God.
That was the line in the freaking movie, and I loved it. Because he said human being, you know,
the
but
blood, yeah,
yeah, blood. It was the comedian's blood. Oh, but I love the end of this last episode. The little twist there and everything.
Did
and
you catch on to that at all?
I absolutely did not.
Okay,
like I was.
So the previous, and I think it's because I just watched them all in bulk. The previous episode, I started questioning who he was because they mentioned the thing with the memory. Like, he lost his memory.
So,
and I'm like, so who, which superhero is he? Like, I literally sitting there going, I'm talking to myself.
Well, okay.
So I'm watching this and I'm like, so who, what superhero is he?
I thought, because his name is Cal.
Yeah.
He was someone from the multiverse.
Oh, you were thinking like a Superman?
Don't, yeah.
Okay.
So anyway.
Which that would have been a cool twist too.
And I was like
literally, if he was the Earth 19 Superman.
I've been having several conversations with people about this, and I was all in on that theory.
That would have been cool too.
But
I like
let
what
me
they
just
did.
Say what they did. All right, if you guys aren't watching Watchmen, you have to watch it because we're
watch
2 weeks
Watchmen?
Away from
watch
talking
watch.
Watching Watchmen. But yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That was a cool twist, and it was like, well, there goes. It's like, what do we do for second season? Like, I'm like, literally, it's the my brain goes, what are you doing for second season then? If that's going to be your first season,
right.
Like, you know, it's like, okay.
Reboot.
Well, and
just
I like
reset and do it all over again.
I like that what's her name from Designing Women is Lori.
Lori Blake.
Yeah. Yeah, Lori Blake. Jean and Smart. I'm like, Lori Jupiter.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh. Hey, it's you. Because at first I'm like, who the hell are you? When she starts doing the phone call to Mars.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, who? And then she starts introducing her. Like, they called her Agent Blake. And I'm like, is it? And I'm like, oh, it's Lori. And then when she goes home and feeds the owl, I'm like, oh, yeah, it is Lori. I'm like, awesome. That's what I was happy to see her. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, thank God you brought somebody besides Ozymandias into this that, you know. Because I'm like, where's Owlman at? In jail.
Maybe. Dead. Who knows?
So. No, she arrested him. I guarantee you he's in jail because she arrested him. And it was the whole, you know, thing of she has an owl in a cage. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. So he's in jail.
Because she does have a really perverse sense of humor.
Man.
But I will say, freaking Jackie Earle Haley as Rorschach is amazing.
He's been awesome
so
in everything
good.
He's been in.
So. Did you ever see the movie? Patrick Wilson is in this one with him as well. It's called Little Monsters. It's Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Like, if you guys haven't seen that
Connelly
movie.
Is Jennifer Connelly in that too?
I don't remember. I don't think so. If you guys haven't, like, look this up. I'm pretty sure it's Little Monsters. It's Kate Winslet. It's Patrick Wilson. It's Jackie Earle Haley.
It's disturbing.
And it is really disturbing, but it is really, really good. But yeah. All right, man.
Well, looking up the stuff, like finding pictures of Scarlett Johansson, I didn't realize that her and Chris Evans had been in a movie together before.
Yeah. The what was it called?
I forget the name.
It was the little rom-com.
Oh, was it? Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Little Children.
Little Children, yeah.
Little Children.
So,
I thought Jennifer Connelly. Yep, Jennifer Connelly was in it too.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, it's Kate Winslet, Jennifer Connelly, Patrick Wilson, Jackie Earle Haley, and Noah Emmerich.
Yeah, Noah Emmerich. That was the other one.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was.
It's very disturbing.
It's very disturbing, but it is quite good.
Yeah.
So,
that's why it was good.
Yeah, and there's just things that happen that you just don't see coming.
Well, right.
Those are the best movies. You see a lot of Kate Winslet.
Yeah, you do.
So. You see a lot of Patrick Wilson too, to be fair, but you see a lot of Kate Winslet. Anyway, yeah. All right, cool.
Did you do any Black Friday shopping? We didn't.
Oh,
yeah. Did you get anything good?
I bought a Ninja Foodi.
Okay.
So it's like a crock pot, pressure cooker, air fryer, all in one.
I think we sell them at Kroger.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And what else did I get? I got a couple things. No, I couldn't find any good toys.
There wasn't much on the toy like. Thing. I think Target did like a buy one get one on certain
they
stuff.
They had buy two get one free for a bunch of stuff. Like that, yeah. I got Parks and Rec on iTunes for $25, nice. Which was good. Which
that's
is funny.
The one I didn't even think to go on was Voodoo to see like what was on there. I went and bought $500 worth of movies for $200. So
oh yeah,
yeah, like so. You know, pretty much any new release I didn't get this year I got, and then some oddball stuff. So
yeah, like I picked up let's see, The Greatest Showman, Stuber, Hidden Figures, Ender's Game, Interview with the Vampire, Uncle Buck, Inception, Dread, and She's Out of My League
cool.
for $4.99, but anywhere between $7.99 and $4.99. So. But yeah.
Yeah, the most of the stores had weird pricing on movies. Like Target was very similar to Best Buy. Mm-hmm. So it was just literally like, which one has more that I want type thing. And I went to Best Buy first. So
I had seen a couple movies like at Target, like the Blu-rays for a good price, but the movies I wanted were all sold out. So
yeah, like,
but
yeah, I think like yeah even I got Captain Marvel, so I was happy with because that one I had waited on.
Yeah, I had wanted to pick up like Yesterday because it was like $7.99 on Blu-ray.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really just wanted it for the digital code, but yeah, whatever. It's fine. It'll go on sale eventually.
I only bought one movie where I bought it for the digital code. I already had the movie.
Oh yeah.
But it was $3.99. Was Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah.
Was the only one I didn't have on my digital. Like, I have every other Planet of the Apes movie on my digital except for Rise.
That's
maybe
the first
not Mark
one, right?
Wahlberg. Yeah.
With
James Franco?
With Franco, yeah.
Yeah. So I was just like, oh, $3.99. I'll buy it and I'll give the disc to somebody.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. What all did you get? You got a bunch of movies.
Bunch of movies. And then Cyber Monday, I bought the complete Universal Monsters box set off of Amazon and the complete Voltron.
Oh, nice.
Lion and Vehicles.
Nice.
Yeah, 145 episodes. They should be sitting on my porch right now.
Cool. Oh, well, actually, I did. I got the helmet.
A helmet.
I skateboard, I ski, and there's a company out there called Rurock. And they have really cool helmets. And I got one of their limited edition ones.
Oh, okay. That's what it is.
Yeah, and then I got an extra pair of goggles because it's got goggles to it. And then the little there's a little like gasket in the mouth. And I got the same color. I got like to change the colors because the ones I had were just black.
Ah.
And then I bought a couple of lenses and the Bluetooth like system.
So there wasn't much geek stuff out there for you, but there was.
No. Yeah, okay. I mean that's geek to me. That's geek stuff too. But there wasn't like comic book or pop culture stuff.
Yeah, I didn't see.
This is just to protect like, my dome.
most comic book stuff. Like there wasn't a lot of comic book stuff.
So, because like a couple years ago when I hurt my shoulder.
Yeah.
Like I'm relatively certain I got a concussion too that I just
probably
never dealt with. But yeah, so I've been wearing a helmet when I ski, and I always wear a helmet because my skateboard goes 20 miles an hour.
You should always wear a helmet when you're riding your bike or you're skiing or any of that stuff.
But I mean, when I'm riding on that thing going 20 miles an hour
and you hit
a pothole or something that you don't see. Yeah, it's I was trying to talk her into letting me get another skateboard, too.
Mm-hmm.
That one goes 26 miles an hour.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
I don't think I bought much else. Like there wasn't like, I went to toy department and they did Black Friday and
yeah, I saw their thing
and they did like a weekend sale. So I went back on Saturday and bought something that wasn't part of the Black Friday.
So I'm off tomorrow.
What is tomorrow?
Friday.
Oh, okay.
So I just took a vacation day.
Sure.
But so I got to go pick up a month's worth of comics from Jeff. And then I was going to go over to the toy department because I want to get the stands for the Black Series figures.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
They should have them.
They had them last time I was in there.
Yeah.
And I just didn't buy them because I forgot to get them at Celebration.
Oh, okay.
Like Roger and I were sitting there talking about it. I was like, yeah, I can't forget to get those. And I walked out without them. So.
Oh, well.
Anyway. But yeah.
Cool, now you'll have them.
Yes, sir. All right, on that note, we'll be back next week.
See y'all later.
Bye. DFS Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @infamouspodcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as @BrianTudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.